everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Dr. Kathy Groover is on the show today. Kathy is an expert in the holistic approach to mind and body medicine. You know, it's an alternative to the medications. And we're going to talk about stuff like people who have back problems after sleeping on a bunk in prison for all those years, people that can't sleep when they come home from prison because of the change of environment, dealing with stress. Dr. Groover's going to help us address all those things today in a way that doesn't include medication. So I thought y'all might be interested in this. It's an excellent show. You want to be sure and stay tuned. Dr. Kathy Groover right after this. Love to hear from you guys. You can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing. Welcome back. I have on the phone with me today, Kathy Groover. Kathy is an expert on mind and body and medicine, kind of taking a holistic approach. She's been widely published and has appeared on numerous TV and radio programs and is the author of a book called Body Mind Therapies for the Body Worker. Welcome, Kathy.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we love having you, and it's great to have you here today. Let's start off just reminding you that, you know, our audience here is ex-offenders. And when we come home from prison, sometimes there's some things in our diet that are messed up. Our sleeping habits may be a little messed up. In my story, when I came home, I had gained a lot of weight while I was incarcerated. And, I spent a lot of years eating chips and bad stuff. And I guess I'd been home about 6 months, and I had a heart attack. I had to have a stent put in my chest. I also found out I had diabetes. And so it's not the healthiest of places, you know, food-wise. So what would be your just your general nutritional kind of advice for people coming home from prison?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I have to say, first of all, I admire so much that you're home now and that you're making good choices in life, and that's so exciting to me to hear that. It's got to be so hard to be in prison for any length of time. I can't even imagine what that's like. So welcome home. Congratulations to you. Yeah, you know, the nutrition thing is really hard. One of the things we really have to get back to, and this is so important for everyone across the board, is we've got to get back to real food. And like you said, you were relying on the chips, and I know drive-thrus are so convenient, and it's really easy to hit those pop it in the microwave for 30 seconds meals. I totally understand that. But the more we can go back to real whole food, like our grandparents and great-grandparents used to eat, the better off we're going to be. And I'm not saying you have to do a total diet change and become some, you know, radical vegan and never have a glass of wine again or never have a beer or never have a hamburger, mm-hmm. but we have to be really smart about the choices that we are making. And if we can make subtle changes where we start to eliminate, maybe eliminating the soda, eliminating some of the fast food and getting back to vegetables and fruits and really good quality meats if we're going to eat them. I think that's the key, is just getting back to those basics. I think that's mm-hmm. so important.
One of the problems I had, and I'm sure that other men and women run into this as well, is it was like, you know, it was a mental trip. It was like I couldn't satisfy myself with the things that I hadn't been able to get for 7 years uh-huh. and 11 months, you know? And right. and so how do we get away from that? I mean, how do we quit the fast food? And, you know, it's easy to say, but how do we go about doing that?
Oh, you're right. It's a challenge. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I used to be a total Mountain Dew addict. I mean, I would have a six-pack a day, and I didn't think anything of it. You know, I used to, my favorite restaurants were McDonald's, 7-Eleven, and Mobile and Chevron, because that's all I had the time and the money for. Was, you know, if it didn't have a steering wheel in front of it, I didn't know how to eat it. I was an actress in L.A., and I was running around, and I was broke, and I didn't have any, you know, time or money. Mm-hmm. So I totally get the, like I said, the ease of use of turning to those. But, you know, if I pop into a 7-Eleven now, it doesn't have to be the Doritos and the Mountain Dew. It could be a bottle of water and nuts, or trail mix, or even some of the better quality beef jerky. You know, we have options, and it's just a matter of realizing that you have those options and taking advantage of those. You know, I was also a drive-thru fiend. I was, you know, Burger King. Oh, man, I love that stuff. And then I started to realize, as I cut back on it, that when I would eat it, it didn't make me feel good. I would have headaches. I was having all sorts of bowel and stomach problems from it. I was tired all the time. And I was also hungry all the time. And I realized when I switched to a different type of diet, and I'm a meat eater, I'm not a huge proponent of a really strict vegan diet as a lifestyle. I don't think it's really healthy for us. But I realized as I started eating, you know, whole quality food, I didn't crave that stuff anymore. I didn't want the Mountain Dew. I didn't want the artificial sweetener or the McDonald's. I don't think I've had a McDonald's burger in about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And when I did have it, because I thought, you know, that sounds good, I'm going to try it, I was so sick, Ronnie. I was so ill. I had a headache within like a half an hour. Mm-hmm. My body didn't want it anymore. So if you give your body a break from it, if you do a soda cleanse, you know, where you don't have it for a couple of days, I guarantee when you go back to it, you're not going to want it as much. So just sometimes giving yourself that break, mm-hmm. you're not going to want it anymore.
Okay. And what about calories? You know, we hear people talk about should we be concerned about calories? Should we count calories? What do you say about that?
Yeah, you know, there's so many different theories on why we gain weight. And, you know, it used to be the traditional thing was calories in, calories out, and you should count your calories and just make sure you're burning the calories that you're taking in. And that's a really simple thing to do. I mean, geez, we've got apps on our phones. We've got things on our, you know, little things you wear on your wrist that you can, you know, program in your calories and your exercise. It's so much simpler today than when I was, you know, in my early 20s and I had to flip through this little pocket book size thing of, geez, that's not in there. How mm-hmm. many calories is this? Mm-hmm. There's also something that people are really starting to get hot on right now called chemical calories. And what they're seeing is chemicals in our environment, some of the additives and the preservatives and all this artificial stuff, mostly artificial food, our bodies don't know how to process that. They're not sure what to do with the preservatives in those chips or the stuff that they're using as a binder in that weird meat at this, you know, at the fast food place. Right. So there's a theory that all that stuff that our body doesn't know what to do with is making us heavier because it's being stored. It's being encompassed in fat. Mm-hmm. To not only protect us from it, but also so later our body might go, I might know what to do with that later. I'm going to hang on to it. So there's a theory about that, too. I just say, move your body. Eat smart, as smart as you can, and move your body. Those are the keys right there to health.
Okay. So it really comes down to our choices and making up our mind to make those choices. I also wanted to mention dairy products. You said cut them out. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of milk. We are the only species that drinks another species milk. That's a little weird. And we're also the only species that drinks milk after we've been weaned off of our mother. And I think that's a little weird. And the study I just read showed that about 60% of Americans truly are not necessarily lactose intolerant, but lactose sensitive. Our milk is homogenized, it's pasteurized, it's got growth hormone. It's really not the milk that we were getting 40 and 50 years ago. And I just don't think it's good for us. There's other ways to get our calcium. There's other ways to get our vitamins. I see a lot of people with recurrent sinus issues or ear issues or digestive problems from drinking milk. Butter seems to be okay. Yogurt, if it's not filled with a lot of, you know, artificial sweetener and high fructose corn syrup, seems to be fine. People can handle cheese okay for the most part. But for some reason, just, you know, drinking a big old glass of milk or putting it on the cereal, people seem to have a bad reaction to that. So I recommend cutting it out.
What about like the almond milks and the things like that that I see in the grocery store? I've tried some of that almond milk. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and luckily we've got a bunch of different options of that now. There's almond milk, there's rice milk, there's hemp milk, some places you can get. I'm not a big fan of soy milk. I think we've really overdone the soy in this country, and that has become everybody's go-to thing of, oh, I'm going to be healthier, so I'm going to cut out meat, and I'm going to have fake meat made of soy. That stuff is so highly processed. It's one of those, quote, health foods that it's actually disguising just a bunch of crap. So I'm not a big fan of the soy milk either. It can be really highly processed.
I was going to ask you about, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you about, you know, like soy burgers and,
yeah.
And that you're not a big fan of that.
I'm not a big fan of that. I think if someone's going to make a choice to be a vegetarian or vegan, I think you have to be a really good cook. And I think you have to be really creative with what you're going to eat. And so, you know, I walk through, I don't know if you guys have Trader Joe's where you are. We have Trader Joe's here in California. And they're really good. They've got, you know, an entire section of, they'll call it sausage links, but it's, you know, tofu or, you know, something like that. They have an entire section of food specifically for vegetarians. Mm-hmm. And it is some of the most highly processed stuff. And one of the compounds that they use to process soy, if they want to do it quickly, is a component of gasoline.
Wow.
And it's very high. It's, you know, got phytoestrogens in it. And some women who overdo soy can contribute to breast cancer issues, we believe. Mm-hmm. Little boys who are eating a lot of tofu, they've seen feminization of traits. So they're starting to become more like girls because of all these hormones these little boys are taking in.
Wow.
And I just don't think it's good for us. You know, in moderation, you have soy once a week as a topping on a tofu salad or a stir fry or something. Mm-hmm. But if every meal for you consists of fake meat that's tofu, I don't think that's healthy.
Wow. Okay. We're going to take just a real quick break here, Kathy. I hope we survive it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Kathy Groover right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey y'all, I have taken up playing music. It's a constructive way to spend my downtime, I hope that you're finding something to do with your downtime as well. And one of the things that has really helped me is something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. The Jam Buddy Chord Chart teaches you how to play no matter what the instrument is in every single key, because it teaches something called the Nashville Numbering System. If you're into playing music, you want to check one of these things out. Now, it doesn't matter what instrument you play. It works for all instruments. Go to angiesbanjo.com, click on the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and check it out. Welcome back. We're talking to Kathy Groovers. She's kind of schooling us up here a little bit on the holistic approach to mind and body medicine. And Kathy, I wanted to switch gears here a little bit and talk. I know that you're into pain management as well. And one of the issues that a lot of people have when they come out of prison is sleeping for a lot of different reasons. I could not sleep. And I noticed this was something that you address. I've never really was able to put my finger, I've gotten past it now, but I wasn't able to put my finger exactly on what it was. It's a real noisy environment in prison. Uh-huh. There's a lot of lights, a lot of stuff goes on all night long. I guess maybe it was the quiet I had to get used to, but do you have some advice on for people that are having a hard time getting a damn good night's sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you kind of hit it with it's the quiet you have to get used to. We have little glands in our body that really sit back on our kidneys, and they're called the adrenal glands. And what those do is those regulate our stress response. They regulate certain hormones. And when we're in a stressful state or a stressful environment, those adrenal glands are kicking into high gear. And they can burn themselves out. They can just get exhausted, adrenal fatigue. So when you got home and you were finally able to relax and you were in a good bed and you had the darkness and the quiet, your adrenal glands weren't used to that yet. They were still in high gear of, oh, it's stressful, and there's light, and there's sound, and there's noise, and there's, you know, whatever is going on. So just from a hormonal perspective, yeah, you're right. It's going to take a little while to adjust to that. One of the things you can do is just try to stay on a regular sleep schedule. If you're tired in the middle of the day, don't lay down and take a two-hour nap. It's going to totally mess with you at night. Try to go to bed at a good time, 10, 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Wake up in the morning. Make sure you're out of bed by 7 or 8. Don't sleep till 11 or 12, even though you really want to. Mm-hmm. It's going to continue to mess with those adrenal glands. And if you're laying in bed, and so often what I see keeping people awake are those repetitive thoughts. We're dwelling on something that happened that day or years past. We're worried about something that's going to happen tomorrow. We have to try to stay in the present. And that's really hard to do for people to say, you know, clear your minds. It's virtually impossible. We can't totally get rid of thought. I'm from the East Coast. I know. I am not clearing my mind. But one thing we can do, rather than trying to erase those thoughts, is replace those thoughts. So rather than laying in bed and thinking, oh, geez, I've got this big meeting tomorrow, or oh, I've got a meeting with a parole officer tomorrow, or oh, I've got a trial tomorrow, or oh, I've got to meet my ex-wife tomorrow, whatever the situation is, try to think of something positive and repetitive. So what I do if I'm lying in bed and can't sleep is I think, I fall asleep easily, I wake up feeling refreshed. Fall asleep quickly and easily, I wake up feeling refreshed. And that does two things for us. It actually programs our body to fall asleep quickly and easily and wake up feeling refreshed. So many studies have shown that doing affirmations and visualization like that actually affect a physical change in the body. So that's amazing. The other thing it does is we can't think two things at once. So if we're thinking that mantra, we are not thinking about what happened earlier in the day. We're not thinking about tomorrow. It forces us to stay in the present. I fall asleep quickly and easily, I wake up feeling refreshed. And you would be so stunned how quickly you fall asleep. It's sort of the same concept as counting sheep. You know, mm-hmm. if you're counting and picturing little fuzzy sheep, you're not thinking about other things. So that was actually a very wise little grandmother's thing to do, as a counting sheep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it. You know, don't have too much alcohol before you go to bed. It can keep you awake. Avoid caffeine later in the day. Things like that. But yeah, mm-hmm. it seems to be the thoughts that keep us up. They can be damaging to us, our thoughts.
I thought it was just, I'm glad you said that, because I thought it was just me that sat there at night and some bizarre thought of something that happened, you know, in my past life pops into my head and I ruminate on it for an hour. That's great. I'm glad to know it's not just me that does that.
Oh, no. I would say 90% of the people that come into my office and want to talk about sleep, it's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. They're keeping themselves awake. Mm-hmm. And that's a really common thing. You know, our bodies finally settle down for the day, and we have the time, quiet time to reflect. And I'm all about reflection. I think we have to reflect and look at, you know, what our lives are and what we've done and what we want to do. But when you're laying in bed at, you know, 2 a.m. trying to sleep, it's not the time to do it.
Yeah. You also address pain management, and uh-huh. I noticed that you address back pain in particular, and a lot of people come home from prison from having, you know, speaking of sleep, from trying to sleep on a metal bunk for years and years at a time, and I've developed a little bit of a back problem, and I know a lot of other men and women do too. Talk to us about pain management and that sort of thing and your approach to that.
Sure, absolutely. Again, one of the things that can really help, I know we just talked about affirmations for sleep. Doing affirmations and visualizing things for pain reduction in the body is really, really beneficial. There's been some amazing studies done at some big universities looking at how people can control their pain by maybe picturing it as a knob on a radio. And you actually picture yourself turning down the pain scale. They've shown that works. Picturing the pain as an ice cube and it's melting away, or picturing, you know, little ants coming and carrying away the pain. Those things work. I mean, they might sound silly or a little out there or airy-fairy, but this has been scientifically studied at some major places, and we're seeing good results from things like that. So something as simple as visualizing, taking a couple deep breaths, breathing is one of the best things. And then to take that further, looking at things like chiropractic and massage. You know, I do massage is still a main part of my practice, and I've had clients come to me who either can't take pain meds or they don't want to take pain meds. Maybe they have a cycle of addiction in their life where they don't even want to start because they know it's just going to be danger for them. And we've been able to, with massage and maybe acupuncture, I might send them to an acupuncturist. There are some great alternative methods of dealing with pain. And, you know, just finding the right practitioner, finding someone you can ask for a reference, it's, you know, sometimes dangerous to just walk into one of those kind of shopping mall, cheapy massage places. You don't know what you're going to get. And if you actually have an injury, you want to make sure you go to someone who's really trained in dealing with injuries as far as massage goes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, looking at some of those alternatives, it's so amazing what massage can do. I've helped people with migraines, with jaw pain, with sciatica, with low back issues, with shoulder problems. It's a really amazing modality, and it's safe and it's effective. There's no side effects. If anything else, you get relaxed and you fall asleep. If that's the worst thing that happens, that's pretty good too.
I had a sports massage one time. You know, in my previous life, I called my time before prison my previous life. I used to do a lot of jogging, believe it or not. And, after a 10K, they were given sports massages, and the massage itself, it wasn't like you think, you know, it wasn't a real super relaxing experience. It kind of hurt a little bit, but afterwards, my God, it was great. I recommend it. But do you have the same kind of approach for issues like stress and dealing with maybe even depression? What kind of is visualization something you can use with those things? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think visualization is one of the greatest things, and also meditation. And again, I'm a very fast-talking East Coaster who is on the move constantly. So if you tell me to sit on a pillow and clear my mind, it just ain't happening.
Right.
I studied mind-body medicine at Harvard last year, and they taught us something called mini meditation. And I was a little scared when they said to 130 MDs of me, I'm not an MD, I'm a PhD, all these, you know, older gentlemen, very intelligent people, they said, we're going to meditate now. And I thought, oh, man, because wow. I'm terrible at it. But this is how simple this is. Concentrate on your breath, and on the inhale, think, I am. And on the exhale, think, at peace. You just meditated. So you want to repeat that a bunch of times. Close your eyes if you can. Not if you're driving. That's going to cause a whole litany of problems. But I do this in the car in traffic. I do it before I give a lecture or get on the radio. I do it in line at the grocery store.
Did you use it today?
I did, of course. I absolutely did. I do it, you know, all the time. And I have to say, I'm a very type A person. I'm very driven. I can be a little impatient. This has saved me from a lot of obscene finger gestures in the car because I do this relaxation and this meditation, and I'm more calm in traffic. I have a little more patience with people. I still think some are just dumb, but I have more patience with them. And it's just something that has helped me so much, and it's so simple. Inhale, I am. Exhale, at peace. As far as things like depression, you know, and that's going to help the stress. It's so great for stress relief. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's going to help depression, and, you know, it depends on the kind of depression. If you're talking severe, major depression where you can't get out of bed and you're suicidal thoughts, you need to head to a doctor for that. Someone who's going to not only combine some cognitive therapy, but also it might be a medication issue. I'm not opposed to Western medicine if it's needed and it's used, you know, in the way it was meant to. But the recent class I just did on depression showed that a lot of these antidepressants that, you know, we're seeing advertised on TV, which mm-hmm. I think are terrible, mm-hmm. They don't work for mild depression. So if you're just feeling a little blue, those antidepressants, according to the studies that I just looked at, aren't going to help. Those were made for severe depression. Mm-hmm. There's something called Bach flower essences, which it's not aromatherapy. You're not, you know, it doesn't smell like flowers. It's made in such a way that there's really nothing chemical left. It's more an essence. Those work so great on mood disorders. There's one for anxiety. There's one, a couple different ones for depression, things like jealousy, over concern with cleanliness. There's 38 remedies that apply to 38 different emotional states. And there are practitioners all around the country, all around the world, frankly, that can mix a formula for you. It's a custom formula. You do an intake form, you do a little interview, and then people can put that together for you. And I have seen a huge difference in people's emotional states. And it's called Bach Flower Essences, B-A-C-H, Flower Essences. You can Google them. They're fabulous. And there's no side effects. They don't interact with anything. The worst that's going to happen is you're out $8 and they don't work. Mm-hmm. But they're really great, especially for some mild mood things.
Wow. I feel like we've just kind of scratched the surface here. Where can we find you? I was looking at your internet site. You've got a great page. There's free tips there and a lot of cool stuff to look at. Tell us where we can find you and how we could get your book.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I've got two books. The new one, The Body-Mind Therapies for the Body Worker, just came out this week. I'm very excited about that. And my first book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, which is just a collection of natural health tips. I've got things in there about stress, depression, anxiety, even things like cancer and weight loss. So that's just a great basic book for people. And all of those are on my website, which is thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. And I've got a monthly newsletter you can sign up for. It's just about to go out, and it'll tell you where I'm speaking. I do lectures around the country, and lots of free health tips and free health resources that I found that might benefit people. So head over there, thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, and you can contact me through there, too, if you ever have any questions about anything.
Kathy Groover, she is an expert on holistic approach to mind and body medicine. Kathy, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate it.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers. You're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody. Be sure you tell people you know about the Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers, the family of ex-offenders, ex-offenders themselves, the friends and loved ones of ex-offenders all can benefit from the things that we present on the show. Got some great shows coming up in the next few episodes. We've got Harris Glasser. We've got Jerry Smith. We've got Saul and Dale Stanton. We've got Rhonda and Barry coming up, and they've got a cool show. All of those shows are designed to address the issues that people face after incarceration. You want to be sure and stay tuned in the next few weeks for these excellent shows right here on the Journey of Hope. Another show comes to an end. I want to thank my special guest today, Dr. Kathy Groover. I want you to be sure and go and check out her website. She's got some cool stuff there for free. Remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.